Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark Esley.
Good morning. Welcome to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, here we are. Doug, we made it to the first full weekend of spring.
Couldn't have come sooner. Couldn't have come sooner for me.
Well, and you just came back from a place where it's always summer.
Yeah.
Lakeland, Florida, huh?
Beautiful. Beautiful down there. Yeah. It was in the 70s and 80s. And last day I left, it was in the 60s and kind of, crazy on Tuesday when I flew back. But it was sunny up here, so that was all that mattered.
Well, you went down to see our beloved Detroit Tigers, and you saw them play the Red Sox, I believe. Is that right?
Well, actually, I saw the Red Sox and Twins play, and I saw the Tigers play the Braves, and they won the game 3-2.
3-2.
And it was one of those games that I couldn't believe how fast it went. It was like 2 hours and 32 minutes or something like that. It was like crazy fast.
Yeah.
And that's the way that baseball should be.
That's the way that's the way it should be. In case you're wondering, Doug goes down to Lakeland, Florida every year. For how many years?
19.
19
yeah,
years.
My brother's down in Fort Myers, so we go down there and play, watch them, and they drive up to Lakeland to see that. So
he goes down and checks out our Detroit Tigers. All right, we want you all to sit back on this first weekend of the spring. It's going to be in the 50s today.
I'll take it.
I'll take it as well. We want you to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say, as we have a great lineup of guests. As you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because the show airs nationally via radio.com, and we are in the midst of the very first weekend of March Madness as well. All right. With all that said and done, our very first guest is Ms. Camille Walker-Banks. She's the executive director for the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program at Wayne State University and the co-founder of Detroit Regional Angels. Camille, good morning and thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm great. Good morning, Mark. So good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And you had a wonderful trip to the Big Apple recently, huh?
Oh, yes. It was a wonderful trip. I learned a lot. I was with the funder of the Goldman Sachs program and representing Detroit, and I have some big thoughts and ideas to just and more resources to bring to this city.
Well, let's
excited.
Well, that's exciting. And let's jump right into it. Part of our conversation is using entrepreneurship of creating wealth.
Yes.
But before we do that, give our listeners just a very high level overview of the Goldman Sachs program, and then we're gonna talk to you about your business as well.
Okay.
Give us an overview there as well.
So the Goldman Sachs program started in Detroit, but it serves business owners across the state of Michigan. It's at Wayne State University, and we started this journey in 2014. And here we are, 450 alumni later, touching businesses across the state, distressed communities, high wealth communities, just helping entrepreneurs take their businesses to the next level. It feels good. We're getting great results. Everyone's pleased. And so I'm here to make sure that everyone takes advantage of this resource.
Outstanding.
I'm so excited.
And then you're a co-founder of the Detroit Regional Angels. Exactly what is that organization? What is that business?
So that business is a spinoff, if you will. A number of 10,000 small business alum decided they wanted to pool their investment. And they joined forces and started an angel group. They pulled me into it and said, you're going to lead this thing. And so that's what I'm doing. But we're entrepreneurs looking to invest in entrepreneurs. And we've seen companies from startup, high-tech startup, high-growth type companies, all the way to established businesses that are looking to enter new markets like trucking. And so now we are a funding resource to connect with those types of entrepreneurs.
And as you and I were chatting this past week, you made an interesting concept. You wanted to kind of hone in on creating wealth through entrepreneurship. What do you mean by that?
Well, 6 years ago when I started working in the small business space and advocating for small businesses, there wasn't a lot of resources or support for small businesses or entrepreneurs. We didn't have an entrepreneurial culture. But now with you know, the work that Tech Town is doing in Southeast Michigan. We've developed an innovation studio for student entrepreneurship, so now it becomes a career track. And with some of the hardships we've had, I mean, I lived through the downturn. I was in economic development through that, and we need to be entrepreneurial. We now value that, and now we have this culture here in the state. And so this is a viable track for people, especially those with buyouts, mm-hmm. with nice lump sums.
Yeah.
To pool their investments and actually become entrepreneurial,
you know,
entrepreneurs.
And there's Camille, news recently where Ford is going to be making some additional buyouts, if
yes.
you will, and
yes.
and we know, living in this city for so long, you and I both, we have seen so many of those individuals get those buyouts,
yeah.
and yet they're not exactly sure what to do with them. And but they want to kind of put their toe in the water as it relates to starting a business, but they're a little bit iffy and shaky and nervous. What do
and
you tell
I get
that person?
It. And they should be nervous.
Absolutely.
And they should do their research. I mean, entrepreneurship isn't easy. I mean, if it were, everyone would have wealth, you know, unlimited wealth and freedom. I mean, you're your own boss. And yeah, it sounds sexy, but how do you do that in a way that will actually make money? So they should be afraid to make that big commitment. But now what we have, where we didn't have this before when we went through this wave and this downturn, now we have access to information, to resources. We have Build Institute. We have Tech Town. We have the SWAT City and the Retail Boot Camp. And we have all of these, the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program. All of these resources now we're developing capital tools to support entrepreneurs who may not be able to go to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have other resources. So let's get in there and get this money and build some freedom for ourselves.
How long have you been the ED over at Goldman Sachs?
I've been there 5 years now.
Okay, so let's go back 5 years.
Okay.
Now, you know, people ask me all the time, I've been doing this for 10 years.
Yes.
So I started this thing when really the city was basically not happening in terms
yeah,
of...
Yeah, you were part of making it happen,
yeah,
Mark.
Thank you.
You were part of that
yeah,
now.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
And I remember how dry the city was.
Mm-hmm.
And let's fast forward to 5 years. 5 years ago when you started, and we were coming out of the recession, not the
mm-hmm.
recession, the bankruptcy.
Yes.
Detroit was coming out of bankruptcy. So you've seen a lot of significant changes.
Right.
And talk to us about those changes from, let's say, 2014 and 2019. So one change was certainly the plethora of resources out there for entrepreneurs.
We became organized at that time. I was there. If you recall, I was with the Michigan Economic Development
That's exactly
Corporation.
Right. I forgot about that.
And I was at the launch of the E200 program where you were the instructor.
Oh my God.
And it was like, what? And I was there because
right.
you were the only resource. This was the only training resource available in this town to help businesses. And we were struggling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took it back 10 years, okay? All
That's
right,
okay.
Fast forward. So now here we are in 2013, 2012, and we have, you know, we're coming through this economic downturn, and people have become entrepreneurial out of necessity. And there weren't very many resources. But then we learned, because we put a call out, that there were at least 36 different resources going on that were available around the city to support entrepreneurs. We just weren't collaborating,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't know about them. We joined forces, developed that BizGrid. You remember the BizGrid?
I remember the BizGrid.
It's still in existence.
Is
so
it?
People who don't have a list of resources, there is now in a book, downtown in the Guardian Building, or come see me in Tech Town. I'll give you a BIZ grid, GRID. It has all of the resources in it. We didn't have that. Now that book went from 36 resource providers to over 60 in 5 years.
Mm.
So now it's actually time to update that
mm-hmm.
book. It's been updated maybe 3 years ago because now we still have other kinds of resources coming online.
We are talking to Camille Walker-Banks.
Let me calm down.
Nah,
okay.
She's the executive director of Goldman Sachs. She's into it. Goldman Sachs, and she's the co-founder of Detroit Regional Angels. And I say she's into it. She's passionate. I'm in the studio with her. And yes, she's totally into it. This is a lady who's passionate about continuing to contribute to entrepreneurship in Detroit. She is making a difference. Go ahead and continue about creating wealth for these people.
Let's create some wealth. Instead of sitting there and wondering and scratching our heads, what should we do? There are options out here. I don't know what more I can say about that except to create your own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
See what's out there. If you can bake a good cupcake, you have no idea what else you can do with that.
But one of my concerns is, you know, I'm going to be out there by myself.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, and,
well,
and I'm used to, like, if I took the corporate buyout,
yeah.
I'm used to being part of a team every day.
Yes.
And so there's this thing called being a solo entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that means I got to do everything by myself, Camille?
That used to be the case. And it was a very isolating place. If you're an entrepreneur, you're sitting at the kitchen table talking to your family, and they're like, they're talking about work, and you have other issues. But we have these networks. They found that when a small business owner joins a network, like down at Bamboo, they have the startup. I don't even know what it's called because I don't really work with startups anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm established.
Right.
But Bamboo is a place where entrepreneurs come together and they're sitting there together and they're having organized networking opportunities. The network is extremely valuable. If you just pick two or three people who are entrepreneurs, you could find them. It may be your dry cleaner. It may be, you know, the lady who at Eastern Market who sells butter. But coming together and or joining these networks that are already out there, and we have them. Bamboo is one place to start. Mm-hmm. Tech Town is another place to start. And I'm sure there are others. But, yeah, they found that, I mean, like for the Goldman Sachs program, a couple of banks have established programs specifically for our alum because they found that when people are involved or engaged in a support system, they pay their loans back.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of loans, you know, always access to capital is that number one challenge to a lot of people funding their business. Now, let me ask you about the regional angels. Do you get involved in funding or helping businesses in a non-traditional way, or is that something you do not get involved in?
We get involved with that. So what we do is we'll bring companies and different kinds of businesses in front of this group. We prepare them first. They pitch their concept, and individuals can now either a number of people can invest in the company or one person may invest. But these are entrepreneurs, so if you receive funding from any of our angels, you need to have them actively involved in your business because they know how to grow it.
Okay, so there you go. There's an example of where you get access to the right people, get exposure, and certainly trying to pitch your business, pitch your idea to get some potential funding. You have a couple of minutes remaining or so. As we talk about the future of the Detroit Regional Angels, I want to kind of hone in on that.
Okay.
What direction do you see it going in another 12 to 18 months?
Ooh, that's a great question. Is there wood in here?
We're in wood.
I think that we're talking to five million people.
This
close to closing our first deal.
All right.
We've only four meetings in, but we are this close. Mm-hmm. And it's really up to the angels to determine how they want to manage this. So I'm there as the facilitator. We have lots of other research and other types of resources available to the angels.
Yeah, yeah, about a minute or so remaining. And then hopefully we want to have you come back in and talk about another program in April that's coming down May 7th at Tech Town. That's
yes.
The Small Business Workshop.
Yes.
And what we'd love for you to do is to come back and maybe spend a little bit more time in. And we'll continue this conversation and tie it directly into the workshop. Because I want you to tell the complete story. You have a great story this year. And the thing I really appreciate about you is your passion of helping people. In our closing 30 seconds, what would you like to say in closing, including a website that you could share with people?
Okay, in closing, I want to encourage everyone to receive a biz grid, call the Detroit Economic Growth Corp for that. If you're an established business or if you know someone who wants to take their business to the next level, 10KSB Detroit will give them access to the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program. As for Detroit Regional Angels, DetroitRegionalAngels.com.
Okay, she gave you the information.
There you go. That's everything.
There she is.
You got me.
I got her. And she is so good. I want you to all know how committed she is. She's actually was on vacation this week. So Doak's coming back from vacation. Camille's coming back from vacation. I feel really special. Camille, we want to thank you very much and wish you much continued success. Will you come back in next month?
I cannot wait. Thank you for having me,
Absolutely.
Mark.
Camille Walker-Banks, going to make it a great day. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, we made it on that very first. We are in our very first weekend of spring. I will take that. And the next several months, yeah, you can catch me on the nearest golf course somewhere. I may not play well.
Spraying them everywhere,
I'll
right?
be spraying them to the left and spraying them to the right. So if you got a
just
logo,
like
and you know, Doak, if they have logo balls,
yeah,
we'll give them free advertising.
That's it. There you go.
All right, our very special next guest is Ms. LaShonda Thomas, and she's a certified public accountant, and is the founder and managing director of the Claremont Group, PLC. And since 2002, has led the Claremont Group's team of highly skilled accountants and service to clients in primary different lines of business. LaShonda, good morning. Thanks for joining me. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. How long have you had your business? Since 2002?
Since 2002. I started my business. I left corporate America and decided to follow my passion, which is certified public accounting. And I've been doing that since 2002. It's been wonderful. And I love that industry in terms of helping people. So as they develop their business models for the upcoming years and looking at sustainable growth for them. So
you left corporate. That's interesting. You said, you know, and my guess is, if I'm just do extrapolation, maybe change the lifestyle, maybe a little bit of a lifestyle change. Is that right?
Yes, yes. Okay. I actually practiced with PricewaterhouseCoopers for mm-hmm. about 7 years, and I decided to get married and have children. So my husband and I wanted 6 kids.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Okay.
And we ended up with just five.
Just five.
You're
one
only
short.
Five. That's it. Just five. One short. But as a result of that, it really got me into my lifestyle business, creating an enterprise or a company that will allow me to be the mother, the wife, the friend, the daughter to my family. So I started my lifestyle business, and which I really focused on growth opportunities and developing something that allowed me, again, to have a flexible career and to make certain that my kids had me at home. So,
let's unpack that, because you're talking about how to survive motherhood in corporate America. And a lot of us, you know, particularly a lot of women, you know, that's a challenge. It's trying to find that balance of working in corporate, you're raising a family and things like that. And so that became the foundational piece for your lifestyle in an enterprise-based business. What are the differences between the two?
Well, a lifestyle business is one that's created and based on the founding member, the one individual. It allows you to determine what your work life is going to be like. How much money would you like to make? How much flexibility do you want in your schedule? When you look at enterprise, you're actually moving into branding of an organization. So it's not so much connected to the founder, but the organization now has a brand that can go beyond that founder mm-hmm. and can develop other managers to implement whatever your process or whatever your service or product that you are actually selling to consumers.
So it's like, I don't usually offer free advertising, but let's just take Mark Zuckerberg for a second.
Yes.
He founded his business in school. College. And now, obviously, he's grown the Facebook business. I understand all the issues. We're not going to talk from a business
right.
standpoint, business standpoint only, where he has grown, but he has managers managing certain levels of third lines of business for him.
Absolutely.
Now, that will be the enterprise?
Yes, that's the enterprise.
That's
company.
An example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and then we talk about the enterprise and having a financial team. How can entrepreneurs use your financial team to plan for that growth and sustainability longer term?
So, as a CPA, we're considered the trusted advisor. You'll find that because of our profession, there's certain ethics that we have to adhere to. We have several classes that we have to attend during the years. And so we become that trusted advisor for you. And there's value in the CPA because you have the opportunity to work with various industries, various types of companies, from sole proprietor to S-corps. You have a lot of experience that you can share with a small business owner, for example, who's decided that they want a lifestyle business. We come in, we do some coaching with you. We talk with you about what's your marketing strategy? What are you doing in terms of your finances? What type of financing would you need, and helping you to develop your deck in order for you to go to market and look for investors in your company. So we do a lot of work like that, but more like coffee time, just sitting down with you and spending time saying, okay, so what's your vision? You know, if you're a lifestyle business are wonderful because, again, you determine your path. How does that look? But just coaching you along with that. And because we have that knowledge on the finances, we can help you to understand your numbers. And because we understand your business, we can connect the two. So we're breaking down silos. So you're not just looking at me as that bookkeeper.
Right.
No, I'm not a bookkeeper.
Right.
I need to add value to your business and help you to grow and to develop a model where you can sustain your business.
So you're truly becoming, you're truly becoming a partner.
Yes.
You're becoming that person, like you said, that trusted advisor. I mean, we be with you every step of the way.
Yes.
Because in a previous segment, we talked to Camille Walker Banks about being an entrepreneur can be a lonely venture.
Right.
And especially if you worked in corporate for a long time, you're used to being around a lot of people, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Working as part of project teams, potentially. And now as an entrepreneur, as you're starting from ground zero, or you might be in a business for 3 to 5 years, you may not have the same number of people you're working with. So to some people, it can be lonely.
Right.
And what you're saying is we are working with our clients as a trusted advisor, someone you can bounce ideas off of, exchange thoughts with.
Absolutely. So we're your thought partner. We come in to help you think through whatever project that you have, what's the best way to bring that project to market, what are some challenges you may have. So we really strategically sit down with you and become your thought partner. And I think that's very valuable for entrepreneurs because, again, you're in an environment where typically you're by yourself and you don't have the developed team that you would have if you're working in a larger company.
We are talking to LaShonda Thomas, and she's a CPA and is the founder and managing director of the Clearmount Group, located in the Motor City. Is that where you're located?
Absolutely. Yeah? In the Motor City.
All right, in Detroit. And as we talk about, let's talk about the CPA firm in terms of value and helping people have managed growth. A lot of times people want to grow exponentially. They think,
right,
I'm going to open up my business and the money's going to start flowing in. But the reality of the situation is it may not happen that way.
Absolutely.
So talk about this concept called managed growth.
So managed growth is really sitting down from day one working with that entrepreneur to develop their sustainable model. What does that look like? What is your vision? So I always start with, what's your why? Why are you here? Why are you investing in this particular venture? What are you looking to get out of that? So starting with that, from that place with them, we talk about 5 things that you should really consider. You should really consider your strategic focus. You're going to always have a focus on what your business product is and what your why is. We're going to talk about operations and delivery of your service. What does that look like? And then we're going to talk about customer relationships, and also physical resources. What resources do you have? And that's when we talk about your capital. What does your capital look like? What's your working capital? Looking at a 5-year plan to help you to grow. And so we do a lot of that work with our clients that are coming in to meet with us.
Yeah, it sounds like a very logical process. And again, a lot of times people, you know, will have an idea and they don't take that logical step, right? They just go from point A to point Z.
Right.
But you still got to follow those processes or those steps in order to get to what you're trying to do is to mitigate the risk, minimize
right.
the risk,
absolutely.
And certainly maximize your business return.
Absolutely.
And we know that everybody wants to be a multimillionaire overnight, but the reality of the situation is that may not happen.
Right, right. And scaling is very important.
Yes.
You have to really sit back and determine, how do I scale this business? So sometimes you can scale too quickly without the right systems or processes in place. And if you do that, that's going to be a failure.
Yeah.
It is going to fail. So really talking about scaling. How do we scale your business so that you're, again, reaping the level of income that you like? And thinking through the process from step one to step two. So we advise individuals that if you're starting a business, meet with us.
Yeah.
From day one. Have your tax accountant, have your business consultant who's meeting with you to help you to think through the process and to really become that advisor and that thought partner as you're moving through this process.
And she's offering you excellent advice here in terms of having a board of advisors.
Yes.
It's okay to have that board of advisors or people you can bounce ideas off of other people. You know, one of the things that my dad taught me years ago was, he says, Mark, you may not be the smartest person in the world. You might think you are, but surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you.
Absolutely.
And that was his philosophy in business. And as many of you know, my dad, you know, certainly did very well in his corporate career. But that was always his philosophy that he shared down with myself and my family. And I shared down to Mike. I have shared with my kids as well. Always surround yourself with people who are smarter than you.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to admit that they're smarter than you.
Yeah, and you know, and I do a lot of that in terms of advising people. Again, having coffee with them to talk about their business, to talk about what's happening in the market. And I think it's very important that you have a team of advisors who are moving along this journey with you to the next level.
And let me clarify what I'm saying, because people could be a little bit confused. I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
So I'm going to hire a lawyer.
Right.
Make sense?
Right.
I'm not an accountant. So I'm going to hire a CPA. That's what I'm getting
Absolutely.
At by building your team.
Absolutely.
Or you may have relationships where you may not necessarily pay. It might just be that more casual relationship.
Absolutely.
But have a board.
Yep.
You know, in our two and a half minutes or so remaining, I do want to ask you, here we are in tax season. Here we are in mid to late March. We're moving to the latter part of March. What would be five tax tips that you can give for businesses or to individuals as they're preparing? April 15th is not too far away.
Well, again, a trusted advisor, number one, from day one, not in March, but in December or November, you want to make certain that you have a trusted advisor on your side to help you to walk through transactions to understand the tax impact.
Especially now that the tax laws have changed.
Absolutely.
And we're beginning to see the effects this year. Next year, we'll see much more of the effects.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the tax advisor can come in and can help to look at some of your transactions and to frame them in such a way that would be more beneficial for your business. But we can't do that today for last year. We have to do this now for the upcoming tax year, so walking along with you. So first, I would just really advise that you hire a CPA, someone who can advise you, that you have proper accounting records, that you're thinking through your business and thinking through what type of transactions you're going to have and what makes sense for you so that you can, have the best savings. So those are some of the things that I would really focus in on as we're moving into the 19 year. But right now, we're kind of behind the eight ball at this point, but
it's
important. Yeah.
It's never too early to plan for next year as
Absolutely.
Well. I think it's the point you're trying to make
Absolutely.
Here. You know, in our closing minute or so together, anything that you would like to say in closing as it relates to that trusted advisor or taxes, as well as how can people get in touch with you?
Well, first, you can follow me at Twitter at the CPA lady.
CPA, all right. Nothing wrong with that.
The CPA lady. And just, again, understanding that you must have a CPA, a trusted advisor working with you in order to make sure that you're meeting your goals, your long-term goals. So that's what I would leave
and
you with.
And you have a website as well.
I do have a website. It's www.clairmount.com.
Is that named after the street in Detroit, by the way?
The street I grew up on.
No kidding. I can go not too far from Clairmount as well. Oh, that's another conversation.
That is another conversation.
I know Clairmount very well.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
And I grew up right between Woodward and I think that's first right there.
All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Again, LaShonda Thomas, we want to thank you very much for coming again. Please say hello to your husband as well.
Yes.
Absolutely. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, this very first full weekend of spring. I hope you enjoyed a nice hot cup of coffee. As the days are getting longer, and you're probably preparing, as Doak is and myself, we'll watch a little bit of college football. Well, not college football, but basketball, right? March Madness.
Exactly.
See, my brain's already back in the fall. Go figure. We're going to slow down. As you know, at this point in the show, I have to give my shout-outs to AM 1270 for giving me this form each and every single week. If you're here in the Motor City and reading your free press or your mobile technology, or you might be listening across the country through one of our many .coms, that's radio.com. WWJNewsRadio.com, LeeGroupInnovation.com, SoundCloud.com, or TheHubDetroit.com. So my point is, you may be sitting back and listening to us talk to you in your local city, Small Talk of Mark Esley, reading your local newspaper. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation with our very next guest, Ms. Soa Obayan, and she's the owner and CEO of BTO Solutions and also Go Social Detroit, and she's a leader in the regional public and private sector for social media communities here in the Motor City. Soa, well, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
So good to have you. How's your first weekend of spring? So far, so good?
So far, so good. You know, as long as we don't see any snow, I was not going to say the S word, but apparently I have.
No.
As long as we don't see
any
snow.
You just messed up a wonderful 50 degrees Sunday, but that's okay.
You know what? Yes, I'm loving this. I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. 10-day forecast also looks great. So yes,
all right,
spring
all right.
is treating us well at the moment.
Well, tell us about your business.
Sure. I run BTO Solutions. It's a digital consultancy based in Detroit. We're entering our 13th year of business, and we create strategies for businesses, comprehensive strategies that include web development, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and certainly what I like to call it is anything within the digital realm, anything that touches the face of digital, we work on, we're fully immersed in. And so our service offering, Go Social Detroit, is specific to social media marketing, and we work with small businesses, small to mid-sized businesses, with that service offering.
So why did you decide to focus on tech? I'm just curious.
Well, technology, I would actually say that computers were my first love. And I began my career, if you will, as a programmer. I got into computer programming when I was in my early teens. And I started building websites and consulting before I graduated from high school.
North
Farmington.
Okay.
Well, Mercy as well.
Right. Okay, keep going. You know, if you're from Detroit, you got to ask about the high school, but go ahead.
Of course, apparently. But yes, so that's when I established my business as well. That's when I incorporated BTO Solutions as well. I was still in high school. So that's what led me to pursuing a marketing degree from Wayne State. So I did graduate from Wayne State.
All right.
Warriors.
All right, go Warriors.
And, you know, after that, it was very simple to lead into digital marketing, leveraging both my background as programmer and deeply immersed on the back end of the web, and then also leveraging the front end and also, you know, sales and marketing. So
I had a conversation this past week, and I'm not making this up. And I told them you're going to be on radio. This is a business owner, more mature business owner. And we got into a conversation about social media. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me how she struggles with this. She's still trying to learn some of the things about it and how to use technology to support her business. Mm-hmm. And so basically what she did is she identified some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Mark, I'm not exactly sure, what do I do? Mm-hmm. So there's a great example of someone who's having challenges with social media. So talk to that person in terms of how do you address your business, how do you address those challenges, if you will, and what solutions have you developed for that particular individual, for example, who feels like, well, you know, I don't have all this money and I need to spend all this money to develop a social media strategy for my business. What do you say to her?
Of course. Well, small business owners like that, I think fundamentally where they need to start is with education. So, and there are lots of resources online, but there's also the Social Media Association of Michigan, which they can easily Google. They can find it. The website has information. Join their newsletter. It goes out monthly, and they can receive tips and information for local events, learning opportunities for them. In addition to that, I absolutely suggest that she join the Facebook group. We have a Facebook group of over 2,000 marketers within the state of Michigan, and it's a great resource as well to simply ask questions about any sort of tactic or trend that they're not completely clear on. In addition to that, we are releasing and launching a chatbot next month. It's called Social Pings Bot. And it is a Facebook Messenger chatbot. So how it functions is that this is a free
piece of advice.
Yes, and chatbot.
And
you
chatbot.
Know, using it is completely free. So once you sign up to the bot, what it does is it alerts you of special days of observance. So there are a lot of social media holidays, for example, like Take Your Puppy to Work Day. You know, and there might be a special day like Malcolm X's birthday that we want to recognize, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you will get an alert before the day comes up. You'll get an alert 2 weeks, 1 week, 3 days in advance. You can set the the time interval that you'd like to, when you'd like to receive it. And before that day comes up, you're reminded to make a post or gather content or share it with your team so you can have a conversation regarding what should go up on social media for that special day. Because what happens typically is a lot of us are busy,
yeah.
You know, and that's another pain point for small business owners is how do you find the time to manage all of these networks? So since we're so busy, we typically forget days that we might want to highlight. You know, that day is coming up and the next day. So you think in advance, okay, I want to bring some visibility and recognition to this day, but then the day is tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, boom, I didn't get that on my schedule. It's not on our editorial calendar. So this is a solution for that particular challenge.
And you referenced in a conversation a minute ago this thing called a bot. B-O-T.
Yes.
All right. To people like myself and to people like Doak, what is a bot? I've heard of it. I don't know what it is. Doak, do you know what it is?
Well, like I said before, I think it's some kind of robot, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, I don't either. So she's going to educate us. So here we go.
Yes. So most people, when they think of a bot, they are brought back to the elections of 2016, Russian interference, where there's a lot of information about how these bots created many different fake accounts and were programmed essentially to share very divisive news. So that could be one use of a bot. Essentially, it's a program that that executes the same function repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those bots, there is a particular program that enabled whoever was manning it to create plethora of accounts, and those accounts automatically they were programmed to share this divisive content. So that's one use of a bot, but a bot can actually have many positive connotations as well. So the social pinks bot is a chat bot. You know, when you go on a website and you have a live support chat feature available, you can actually speak directly to that someone you think is an individual, but it's actually a bot.
Mm.
It can be a pre-programmed to answer certain questions, but now with artificial intelligence plugged in, it can... once it begins receiving questions on a regular basis, it can actually get sophisticated enough to answer questions like it's an actual human being.
Hmm.
Eventually, you won't be able to tell the difference at all.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is the benefit of that? Is it just so it's, you got pre-programmed questions or pre-programmed answers? So I guess it helps you in terms of time efficiencies and things like that. Or what are some of the benefits?
Yes, on the business end.
On the business end, yes.
Yes, on the business end, that's exactly it. So they don't need a large customer service team. They don't need to outsource to a call center. And then now that a lot of sales research is happening via digital, and that's basically the front end of their sales, it's important to keep that the cost as light as possible.
Okay.
At that stage.
We're talking to Sola O'Brien, and she's the owner and CEO of BTO Solutions and also Go Social Detroit, and which is located here in the Motor City area in Detroit. And she's giving some great advice when it comes to social media. A lot of us still grapple with that concept. We still grapple with what do we do? How do we do it? And particularly if you're a more mature business owner, some people still foreign to a lot of people, to be honest with you. And as we talk about that, make this transition to the next question, you know, what's that one piece of advice for helping small businesses achieve success in their social media efforts? So that person I just used as an example, that's one of the challenges that she's having. She's not necessarily having success with it. So again, what is that one piece of advice? And you referenced earlier about education.
Mm-hmm.
What other pieces of advice would you give to that person as it relates to social media?
I think the key tactical takeaway here is that you should not try to be on every single platform. Choose one platform and own it. And then once you have the bandwidth to expand, then add another platform. Of course, it's fine to secure your brand name on all the platforms, but put most of your man hours into one particular platform. So for instance, you know, a show like this where you're reaching out to small business owners, of course, LinkedIn is a great platform for you. Facebook could also be a platform for you as well, but for clients, I suggest that if there's no ad budget for Facebook ads, consider removing Facebook from your social media marketing mix initially, especially if man hours are very short.
And that's going to be my question. So, so Facebook has advertising. Mm-hmm. So you can actually purchase the advertising, but why not just post something as opposed to buying an ad on Facebook?
Yes. So initially, when Facebook first launched, organic reach, which is what we call visibility. When you post on Facebook, there's an automatic amount of people who see your posts. Mm-hmm. So initially, it used to be around 80% of your followers would see your posts. Now Facebook wants you to buy ads.
Okay, gotcha.
So organically, they're only seeing I think less than 10% of your Facebook fans even see any of your posts. So you have to have advertising to increase your impressions.
So this is why, Doak, she's in here. So you and I got the glazed looks, and she's doing a nice job of explaining.
Didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
Yeah.
You know, and as you talk about, I know some people focus in, they use LinkedIn. Some people are now using Instagram, and some people are using Twitter. I don't manage all these different websites. I mean, social media sites. For my business, I manage maybe 2-3 tops. That's it.
Okay.
And I hone in on those 2 or 3 tops. I am following your advice already. Probably some things I should do a little bit differently, even just based on this conversation. You know, go ahead.
But actually,
close 30 seconds or so.
I will say, though, that your blog is fantastic, and that's what you should also focus on, is getting as much content as possible on your blog and on your own channels.
Well, thank you. You know, and I appreciate that. A lot of people do. I will say my social media challenges have given me so much exposure. It's amazing where I go places and people feel like they know me because of all the posts. But I keep my posts. I'm a very private person, and so I really don't do anything as relates to the personal side, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we're up against the clock. Quickly, what's the website that people can get in touch with you or get more information from you?
Sure. Well, you can find me, S-O-L-A-O, on pretty much any social media platform, on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter as well. You can also find out more about Go Social Detroit, gosocialdetroit.com, and Social Media Pings. You can sign up for our launch, which is socialmediapings.com.
So, Obayan, we want to thank you very much for coming in. Thank you. I appreciate the advice. Got to have you back on again. All right. Good. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Boy, we've had a great lineup of guests this morning and have great conversations about entrepreneurship, businesses, and supporting businesses. We're going to take a slightly different turn, Doak, this last segment.
All right.
I know you've been watching the March Madness, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some good games already, and it's probably one of the best times of the year, do you think?
Yep. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Next to football season, this is the best.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of football, we have a former footballer on the line with us. A lot of you know who he is. He played football for the University of Michigan, was a running back. And I like to always say Jim Harbaugh's running back, and he's doing some great things out in Ann Arbor, Michigan these days. He has his own radio show. Good friend of mine, Mr. Jamie Morris. Jamie, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Say hey to Doak.
Doak, what's going on, man?
Hey, not much, Jamie. Good talking to you again.
All right, Doak. Jamie, here we are. First weekend of the basketball tournament's underway, and some great basketball this past weekend, and it's going to be some more basketball this week, today being Sunday, and for the next, I guess, couple of weekends. You know, kind of talk to us from your perspective about the tournament itself, and why do you think it just has so much excitement and so much appeal, and why do people get wrapped up in the tournament, you think?
Well, because you have Goliath versus the smaller schools. You have all the blue bloods in Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State. You got all of these large schools, but they allow the little guys to play, and sometimes the little guy knocks off the big guy, and that's what makes it crazy. That's why it's March Madness, because you never know what's going to happen. Now, obviously, everybody expects those blue bloods I named to win.
Yeah.
But when it first starts out, you don't know who's going to win, who's going to lose. Because, you know, Russ comes in because these guys, these teams are used to playing 2-3 times a week. And then they take a week off after their tournament. And then they're sitting pat waiting to play to see who they're going to play. They get out on the court on a Thursday and Friday. And they get out there. And you know what? The little guy can beat the big guy every now and then, and they hit those lucky shots. And we love seeing that. We're a society of little guys.
Well, and I want to ask you, and Doak, why don't you open your, turn your mic as well.
Okay.
Doak's a huge Michigan State fan, and I want to go back, because you referenced the tournament. I'm talking about the Big Ten tournament now. I'm not talking about the Big Ten just yet. We'll come back
to
that. So let's go back. You know, some controversy last week after, Michigan State beat Michigan for the Big Ten championship, and Michigan State, you know, Tom Izzo, they go on record as saying he was a little bit disappointed Doak in the seeding, you know,
right,
being in the same bracket as the Duke. So Jamie, my question for you, what value, do you see the value in the Big Ten tournament, or should he go back to the old? I know it's about money, I get that. But in terms of basketball, do you see value if the Big Ten is not going to get those better seeds and the better positions throughout the tournament? Should they just say, hey, let's go back to the way it was?
No, I think the Big Ten hurt itself. I think the Big Ten itself hurt itself because they want to be the last tournament that plays before they pick, okay? So here's the disadvantage of that. The committee was done. They were just waiting on the Big Ten, and they were waiting on the two teams that were playing in the Big Ten, and it was a plug-and-play.
Mm.
Now, this is the way I took it. Michigan played well out on the West in the West region last year.
Right.
They packed the house. They travel well. Not that Michigan State doesn't, but they had proof of what happened last year. So if Michigan does well and they travel well and they go to those big arenas out there on the West Coast, the Staples Center last year was packed. They sold it out. So when they go out there on the West again, now would Michigan State sell it out? I don't know. But they had a proven factor in Michigan. If Michigan makes it to Anaheim, that stadium, they think that they would sell it out again.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, the committee went with, oh, we want to have a sellout because we want to be able to do these arenas. Now, this is me saying that's what they did. I'm thinking they put Michigan State in the East because it's closer. They're going to play closer to the state of Michigan. They can travel that way. And if you look at the bracket, really look at that bracket, yes, Michigan State has one tough game. If they get there, they got to play Duke.
Hmm.
Go.
What do you think about that? I didn't think about what you just said. He said that really the only tough game. They're all tough games. You never know what's going to happen.
No, they're all tough games.
Right.
I don't mean to say they're not tough, but
Duke is on the horizon as a Michigan State fan. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that was the big question mark, and I think Jamie agreed. You know, they placed Michigan State sixth, and in that seeding of the two seeds.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was on vacation last week, so I just wasn't paying much attention. I read most of it afterwards, but. Yeah, that's a good point. Because we're the last tournament game, the championship game, you've got to figure that 90%, 95% of the brackets are full, you know, and they're just waiting for where to play. Like Jim said, plug and play. So
yeah.
So it's a tough nut to crack, I think.
But at the end of the day, all three of us agree, you got to play the games.
Yeah.
Irrespective of where you're located, if you're a 1 seed or a 16 seed, you still got to play the games at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And speaking of playing the game, you know, in college football, you had a legendary career at University of Michigan, and certainly you followed up with playing in the NFL for 5 years, I believe. Your brother played for the Giants. Let's talk about what's happening. I do want to kind of tie this back into NCAA for a second in terms of football versus basketball. So let's think about the bowl games. So this past year, for example, U of M had several players who decided to bypass the bowl game because they wouldn't get ready for NFL combine. They don't want to risk their bodies and things like that. There's a lot of talk about this kid out of Duke, Zion Williamson. Clearly, he continues to elevate Duke again this year. If I'm 18 years old and someone came to him and say, you know, Zion Williamson, you should skip the tournament because there's a potential risk that you might get hurt, as evidenced by the fact that his gym shoe split a month ago. What are your thoughts on that? Why does he want to play? Why does he want to play? Why take the chance, Jamie?
Well, because I mean, it's what the universities and the NBA did to this young man. They've decided you have to have 1 year of college before you can go pro. So I mean, they hamstrung that young man. If you're good enough to go to the NBA, I think you should. I think a young man should be able to go from high school to the NBA. There, we know of a few players that have done that and done quite well.
Moses
so
Malone.
Why take that? Moses Malone,
mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant,
right.
Kevin Garnett. Daryl Dawkins. Yeah. I mean, they can do that. But that, with that being said, they thought they were going to protect the young men. And you know what? They wanted to protect these young people, put them in a college situation, and then come out. I don't know what 1 year is going to do, but okay. I'll do that. Dion decided to go play at Duke
right.
for Coach K. If you know these young men in college basketball, they come as a group. They talk to one another. They talk all the time. So when he heard that R.J. Barrett was going
right.
to be there,
all
of the other players are going to be there, he made a commitment to them. They became brothers, and they play together. So when he got hurt, everybody's telling him to, you know, hey, you shouldn't play. That young man, that's all he knows what to do. He's a team player. He's one of the best players in the country. I'll give you that. But that being said, once you make a family, these young men are taught you play as a team. So when he got healthy and he was ready to play, I think the best thing for him, he got 6 weeks off to get to heal, and he got a chance to play in the ACC tournament. He's good. Why not continue? Sure, he's already made a mark for himself, and he's probably either the first or second pick of the NBA draft. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you want to finish strong? Don't you want to show everyone that you have the mustard, that you can win an NCAA title going into the NBA? I mean, very few people have done that.
Yeah, and I hear you. And I guess I believe in the concept of student athletes.
Sure.
Absolutely. So I'm going to make sure that I go on record as saying that. But as I'm thinking about, you know, the kid out of Ohio State this year who skipped the entire year. Now, Ohio State, to your point, clearly had a legitimate chance of going to a national championship game. Right. But who's the kid? The defensive lineman, was it Bosa, I think?
Nick Bosa.
He's top midseason. Said, heck with this. Go ahead.
He got ready for the NBA. He got ready for the NFL draft. We're talking oranges and apples,
okay.
too.
Okay.
Because the physicality of football, and I'm not saying it's more physical than basketball, but when you get to the NFL, you're playing with grown men.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
When you're a young man and you're trying to become a grown man, you've got to grow into a spot. Now this young man tore his groin. He was out for the rest of the season. Could come back for the bowl game. Mark, if he can't play the whole season, he's got to get ready because he had already made a predetermined that he was coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew, he has been told by enough experts, enough people have told him he was going to be the number one pick overall. But he's got to stay in shape. So, he's the captain of the team. I don't recommend him. I didn't recommend him doing that, leaving Ohio State, but you know what? His family, he met with Urban Meyer and everybody agreed, go do your thing. And he had an opportunity to go do his thing. Now, as far as college athletes, college football players not playing in a bowl game, that's insignificant. That's
okay.
Not the college football playoff. Let me tell you something. They did this. The universities did this. TV did this to these young men.
Wow.
They made these bowl games insignificant. With that being said, these bowls don't really mean anything unless you're playing in the college football playoffs in the national championship game, because you're playing at a different level. You're playing with guys that they are NFL qualified.
Hmm.
And you've seen Alabama. You've seen Clemson. You play up against those guys. You're going up against guys that are going to be going to the league. That being said, why take the risk? And it happened to Michigan. Jake Butt, if you remember, Jake Butt blew his knee out, and he was a number one pick, graduated from Michigan, everything, and was going to play. He's a captain. I'm going to play. I'm not going to take any chances. I'm not afraid. But he blows his knee out. Luckily, he had insurance,
right.
But he is a sixth-round pick. Yeah. He goes from a possibly number one, number two, first-round, second-round pick, to a sixth round pick.
Well, I tell you what, I hear you, man. And you get it. I'm in a closing moments with you, but you get it. You understand. You've been there. And it's always nice to get your perspective on what's going on, because now we know that college sports, college athletics have turned into a huge business, billions of dollars now.
Yep.
And of course, people are always going to ask the question, you know, how much is too much for the kids at the collegiate level? Why don't they just take advantage of the money? You get the whole idea. But, you know, I am up against the clock. But what time are you on, by the way, your station in Ann Arbor, Jamie?
On 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. It wasn't on this week because it was March Madness.
Right. Okay, but you can check him out in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jamie Morris, who's doing some great things out of Ann Arbor and obviously very much engaged at the University of Michigan. And we appreciate you calling in and just giving that different perspective on the NCAA in terms of football versus college basketball.
Yeah. Who's going to win it all? Who's going to win it all?
Oh, who's going to win it all? Quickly.
Duke or North Carolina?
Yeah, who's going to win?
I got Duke. Okay. I got Duke. Zion's healthy. He's running around. Nike made him his own shoe. He's already got a shoe contract. We don't know this.
All right.
Look, he got a shoe contract.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, Jamie. I'm out of time. Hey, man, enjoy the basketball. We want you all to go out and make it a great day, make it a great week. Don't you enjoy the college basketball as well, man?
I always do.
And we'll check you out next week on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.